Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Brad Heckman in the studio. Brad, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here, Damali. Thanks so much.
Oh, you guys are in for a treat today because Brad is such a dynamic person. Brad and I met because about, 6 years ago, I was a student in his basic mediation training program at the New York Peace Institute. And I was so enthralled and captivated by the organization and Brad and his teaching style that I went up to him at the end of a 5-day program. And I said, I want to get involved. Tell me how we can work together. And that was all she wrote. 6 years later, on the board of the New York Peace Institute, which has been amazing. And Brad is doing some awesome and amazing things. Brad, tell us more about yourself.
Well, first of all, our how we met, the story totally checks out, although I remember more me begging you to help than you offering. But anyway, yes, it's all history. Currently, I am a full-time faculty member at NYU at the Center for Global Affairs, and I'll be heading out to Baghdad, Iraq in a few days to teach professors how to teach and to work with youth to get them more engaged in civil society. So you're catching me just before I go into a war zone, Damali.
Wow.
How does that sound?
That sounds really incredible. And thank you so much for coming by. And you've done some other amazing things aside from being a trainer at New York Peace Institute. Tell us more about your connection there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was part of founding New York Peace Institute way back in the day, coming up on 10 years ago. And before that, I was helping to set up mediation centers in the then new democracies of Eastern and Central Europe and the Balkans and the former Soviet Union. I recently found out that I'm part Neanderthal. So how's that? I did my 23andMe and I found out that I'm part Neanderthal, which, by the way, is why my headphones don't fit, because I have a misshapen Neanderthal head. See how this comes full circle to our earlier discussion?
I love it. I love it. And so you spent so much time promoting peace all over the world, in the Balkans. You've worked for the Peace Institute, the New York Peace Institute. And in a few days, you're going into a war zone in Baghdad to help professors and teachers learn how to teach mediation and conflict de-escalation techniques. And so I know aside from that, we're not doing all those amazing things. You also have a super creative side where you work as an illustrator and you have a book.
I do. I'm an amateur illustrator.
You're not amateur. You got to take out the word amateur. Amateur does, right. And illustrators don't even mix with what you do. You are just an illustrator.
So we'll edit that out then. So I'm an illustrator of sorts. I like to draw. I was never good at sports, so I spent a lot of time drawing. So as kind of a meditative practice, every day I draw 2 or 3 portraits of people who inspire me, along with quotes that give words to things that I'm often speechless about. So I post those every day on Instagram and other social media.
Which is amazing. And Brad's trainings are also known for their incorporation of his own illustrations, pop culture, humor, theater. And you can see this in his TEDx talk and Mindfully Getting in the Middle. And his most recent publication is Words of Wisdom, in which he illustrated in cooperation with Kenneth Cloak, who is a mediation and mediator guru. And so it's just so amazing, Brad, to have you in the studio. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you can simply call our hotline and leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating, and it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything about what's going on for you, and you're just not quite sure how to navigate it. Or it can be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do if we were in that situation. So, Brad, without further ado, let's play the first message.
You have one message. Hey, Damali, this is Michael, and I own a restaurant and bar, and I hire an outside security company. First of all, thank you for creating this platform to assist me in my issues. But my issue specifically is I hire an outside external security guard company to oversee some of my businesses, especially late nights when there's possible conflict and confrontations. And over the last 6 months to a year, I've run into numerous situations where the guards have not de-escalated situations. Unfortunately, it escalated them. In short, I've had a lawsuit come against my business, as well as a discrimination complaint from some customers based on the color of their skin or their sexual orientation. And these are situations that could have been completely avoided if the proper training had been instilled at the time of when they took their courses. Unfortunately, there seems to be no specific course that can deal with restaurant or bar situations. They are a generic training opportunity that just gives them a card that says they passed. And it's really a difficult situation, as all the companies seem to be coming up against poor staff at this point. And I've interviewed a few companies, but they all seem to be the same. I was wondering if you had any suggestions on how to mediate, situations like this, or communicate ways to better employ or train staff within these security companies. Thank you very much, Damali. I appreciate your assistance.
What an excellent question. And so what comes to mind for you first, Brad? We heard our caller, Michael, say that he owns a restaurant and bar and that he hires an outside security service, and that there are situations that could have been de-escalated or avoided if the security guards had the proper training. And so now he's trying to figure out a way to mediate when things arise that involve them, or how to communicate or train them better so that they can work more on conflict de-escalation, conflict prevention, and management, as opposed to escalating situations that are already, sounds like, emotionally charged.
Emotionally charged, and beyond that, with possible homophobic or racist overtones behind them. And Damali, you and I know from working with law enforcement that very often in our attempt as a society to keep people safe, we end up doing just the opposite by having the presence of individuals who are there to keep the peace, ironically enough. Reminds me of working in Bulgaria years ago, where I was working to build a mediation center, and I got their budget, and one of the line items was wrestlers. And I'm thinking to myself, wrestlers, I don't know that I can justify the expense of wrestlers. What are you talking about? Is this some kind of mistranslation? And the response was, no, like wrestlers. And so we did the feedback loop. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. You want to have wrestlers in the mediation center. What do you mean by wrestlers? You know, like Greco-Roman wrestling? I mean, like guys in leotards fightmen? Like, that's what we're talking about? And that's what it was. And it turns out that in Bulgaria at that time, after the fall of communism, the Olympic wrestlers were all unemployed. So they reinvented themselves as security guards. So imagine like so many thick-necked Bulgarian wrestlers with velvet, like Run DMC track suits and gold chains saying, you know, I am now security guard. And that was and like unto our friend Michael, they weren't particularly trained in anything other than having a scary presence. Mm-hmm. Well, luckily they were within a mediation center, so they got trained in mediation. So what I would say to Michael is I think he's identified a key criterion on which to hire an outside firm or hire people who fit more what he's looking for. I definitely applaud him for looking for people who are going to keep the peace rather than exacerbate tensions in our society. The kind of training that we do at New York Peace Institute and that you and I have done, I actually think would be perfect for his guards, as we've seen working with law enforcement, getting some of the general techniques of how to use more of an Aikido method of a verbal Aikido method of resolving conflict, which is to say not shutting someone down or insulting them, but kind of gently moving their energy around in a way that maintains their dignity and keeps the peace. So there are options out there for him, and I think it's just great that he's looking to keep the peace in his business. I would ask the question, if he were here, what precipitated the need for this kind of enforcement? And because there's always a reason behind it. And I would ask myself, how necessary, what kind of security we need. We used to have armed guards at New York Peace Institute, and I'm glad that we don't now.
Well, you know what's interesting about it is you're absolutely right. If he were here, we would ask him more questions. And the first thing that came to mind for me when you said that and when he started speaking was that he said that he owns a bar and a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found especially a lot when there are bars involved is that the need to have some security presence sometimes becomes necessary because of they're providing alcohol, and you know, alcohol can change people's behavior. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that could be part of the reason. I love that you said that there's training out there that exists. There's so many organizations that focus on training. I think the disconnect that we need to address as well, because Brad said it, you've said it, Michael, is that it's an outside company it is regulated, by the way. Many states, many cities have regulations for security guards, and there is a sort of training program that they have to take, and I think they have to renew it on a regular basis. But to my knowledge, there isn't this specific training for restaurants or bars, people who you're encountering who may be inebriated, and how do you work with them? And how do you handle it when, say, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and you're working and the bars are about to close and, you know, maybe someone doesn't want to leave, or maybe there are a whole lot of things going on, because at the end of the day, we're all people. And so the security guard is, you know, is that his first shift? Is this his third shift? Has been working all day. And so we have to think about all the various situations or scenarios that could really impact interpersonal dynamics during, you know, this exchange.
Absolutely. And what comes to mind is a classic movie from the 80s called Roadhouse, starring Mr. Patrick Swayze, in which he played a security guard at a Roadhouse bar. But he was also an NYU philosophy student, and he infused philosophy and martial arts into his sometimes necessary ass whooping at closing time. Oddly enough, I know the Polish title for that movie. It's Wiki Daiwo. So if your listeners gain nothing else from our time together, it's that Roadhouse in Polish is Wiki Daiwo, and infuse peace building and philosophy into your security apparatus.
I love that. And then I think too, for you, Michael, now that you are aware of this gap and security training, as Brad said, you can make it a necessary requirement as you're trying to find a company. Because at the end of the day, a vendor who's providing a service to you should be able to check the boxes that you have. And I think that because you said you had a lawsuit, you've identified two pretty sensitive topics that were brought up, one for discrimination and the other one for sexual orientation. I think that you want to make sure that these individuals who will be there, I mean, because everyone won't know that they're from an outside company. Anyone who's there working at your establishment are going to be seen as an extension of you. And so you want to make sure that at a minimum they take these trainings, and that, again, their organizations like my organization, Breakthrough ADR, there's also New York Peace Institute. There are others here, depending on where you're based, that can provide training in person and online to really help this population and help you to kind of regain assurance that these things won't happen at your establishment. Because I can hear that it's a little bit, it's totally, no one wants to be sued. I can tell you that as a lawyer, no one wants to be sued. And that's something that you really don't want to deal with as you're trying to promote this sense of community with the restaurant and bar in a neighborhood where you're located.
I absolutely, and I wonder if Michael continues to outsource this, is if in the audition process he asked questions not did they check the box of getting training, but give them scenarios. How would you respond to, for example, the one that you gave to Molly, when it's closing time, 4 in the morning, people aren't necessarily their best selves. And in fact, ask them to role play how they would de-escalate an actual conflict. So see them in action. You know, they have an interest in getting hired. He's shelling out dough to bring them on. So, like, let's see what their skills are up front, rather than what seemed to me often the criteria for being a security guard, which is being big and looking great in a black t-shirt, shaved head optional.
And availability. Who's available to work, you know, from 12 to 5 in the morning?
Right.
And so I agree with you wholeheartedly. So consider having some additional criteria when you're interviewing. And I don't know if you're only talking to the – I'm assuming you're interviewing the actual security guards, not just the companies that you're choosing to contract with. And, you know, we're here to help. Let us know how things are going. Let us give us some feedback. Let us know what restaurant you own so we can go by and have some food, have
sure.
some drinks. And hopefully these have been some really insightful tips to help you think about how to navigate this situation. How about we go to the next message, Brad?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You have one message.
Hi, my name is Ilani, and I sort of have a question. I had a coworker who is an aspiring model who wanted to be a part of a brand when I first, like, presented it to her. It was a fashion boutique. And so when I first presented it to her, you know, we kind of talked about our ideas, and she wanted to work on it together with me. At work, we researched all day long. We created an email. We searched for available domains. We looked at designs we wanted the page to look like. You know, all was going well. She ended up quitting to go work with her boyfriend in real estate. So she doesn't have much time, and we don't really speak as often. So I ended up doing all the work myself, and I would ask around for logos. I even went to the clerk office to get a business certificate. And I basically went behind her back and got a business certificate under my name. You know, I filed under a fictitious name. The name of the brand is called My Mood. And, you know, we just haven't been in contact, but I'm taking the business very serious. I created a new email because she had the password to the old email. I created a new email. I bought a domain. I have access to all the wholesale stores because I have my business permit and reseller's license. When I began to post, she's going to be aware that I started the business without her. Should I let her know that I'm moving forward with the business though she has no entitlement? Or should I just do my thing and I say a thing and just nurture my business? So that's my question.
This is so good.
It's really good.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks, Ilani. So it sounds like there's a lot going on here where there's a situation where a coworker and you were thinking about starting a business together and that you took some initial steps together. And then because of life and changes, your potential partner decided to take another path, but you continue to stick with the business. You took out a business license, a fictitious name, and you bought the domain, created a new email account, and now you're ready to kind of go public with this company. And so your question for us is, should you inform your prior business partner that you're moving forward with the business so that she is aware and knows that, you know, you've taken the reins? Or should you not say anything and just let her find out when the rest of the public finds out, when you start to publish and post information and news about your new endeavor? What do you think, Brad?
This is a good one, Damali. I think the question for Ilani, is that?
I think she said Ilani, yeah.
Ilani, it's a beautiful name.
It's a great
name.
Even
if we just made it up. I think the question for you, Ilani, is how important to you is the relationship with your former colleague on the one side? And on the other side, what are the consequences of not being transparent with her? So what could possibly go wrong? I'd be curious to know more about your possible hesitance to let her know, because I'm getting that might be a difficult conversation to have for some reason. I think it's always helpful to play out in your mind, in a perfect world, what would things look like if we had a conversation? How would that conversation go? How would I acknowledge all the work that she put into where we are so far? And therefore, you're preparing yourself not just for a difficult conversation, but also for what she may ask for. And that preparation in and of itself, I think, could be very healthy. And in a larger sense, what would you like to see? I'm just sensing that you're really torn here. You kind of want to let her know, and that may also be because of consequences. So, you know, my question for you is, if she does get wind of this through the grapevine, what damage can that do to you on a personal level? And how can that hurt your business, which sounds very, very important to you? So, and on from a legal perspective, oh goodness, I have no clue. That's more your wheelhouse, Damali. But I hope those questions can at least help you think through where to go from here.
I really like that, Brad. I like the idea of Ilani asking those questions and answering those questions. I would add a few more questions for her consideration. It's not clear to us how much of the idea was your idea or her idea to start with, and whether that idea has morphed over the time period from, you know, inception and discussion with her until now. And so I would want you to kind of go back in time and think about that, because the way that you mentioned it to us was you said that you first presented the idea to her. So it sounds like it started with you and that you were working together in the beginning. But then because she went into real estate with her boyfriend, she didn't really have as much time to devote to it, but you continue to work on this endeavor. And you said that you don't really speak often. And so I think what I'm hearing is part of the hesitation and part of the reason that you're asking the question is some time has gone by. You haven't been in communication, and perhaps you don't want the first thing that you say to her to be, "So I moved on without you and I started this business and here we go." You don't know what's been transpiring in her life, and I'm assuming she doesn't know what's been transpiring in your life. And that's assuming that, you know, there's more going on that you can glean from social media if you're both avid posters and users of social media. And so I would definitely write down and try to think about the beginning. What was discussed in the beginning? You said she was a coworker who was an aspiring model. And so trying to figure out like what your relationship was then, what is it now? What were the ideas, the plans? Were they yours? Were they both of your ideas? Were they hers? So to try to figure that out. And then what you're working on now, how is that the same or different than where you started? It sounds like a lot has changed. I don't know. I'd need to know more about what's going on. And of course, I can't provide legal advice in this kind of setting. It's just not really conducive for really getting down into the weeds of what's going on without having a dialogue, right? So we're kind of at a disadvantage because we don't have more information. You did provide a really good question, and you're trying to figure out what to do. And so I'd also ask another question for you, which is, you mentioned you're moving forward and you're wondering whether you should let her know so she has no entitlement. And what I hear when you say that is that you think there's a reason that she may feel that she's entitled to some of this business. And I'd want you to ask yourself why, and what was she being entitled to? So are you talking about equity? Does she be entitled to some ownership in this idea? This clearly not in the company. If you started it on your own, it belongs to you. But that being said, does she think she should be entitled to something more than just reference to the idea? Two, tell me more. I would want to know more about what your plans are. You said you should just do your thing and let her find out when the rest of the world finds out. And I'd like to echo what Brad said. What are the consequences of taking that route or that approach? I always weigh pros and cons for many things that I do. And sometimes I do it aloud, like right now, how Brad and I are just chatting. Sometimes I write it down and I kind of look at the list and I'm like, wow, there are like 29 cons and 2 pros, but are those really big pros? It's not just a numerical, scale that you're weighing and balancing, but sometimes, you know, the cost benefit analysis can point you in one direction or the other.
Damali, you are brilliant as always. And I think when people co-create something, it's not unusual to have very different views on who contributed what, because often these come out of high energy creative conversations where there's a sense of co-ownership and co-pride of ownership around it. So it might mean some kind of historical reconstruction in your mind about what really happened. And I think part of it is owning your own feelings around this. So if you really feel strongly that even if she's not entitled to any kind of financial compensation, but deserves some gratitude, was part of it, sometimes that might be enough. So I'm envisioning a conversation, should you choose to have one, in which you're not necessarily conceding that you owe anything financially or legally, but it might be enough just to say, you know, you were an inspiration. We started this together, and I want to acknowledge that. And sometimes that can be such a disarming kind of statement, and frankly, it could head off at the pass any of the more legal kinds of consequences. If it's true and if it's sincere, a great Buddhist sentiment about when we speak is that everything we say, it should be kind, true, and useful. And if there's something kind, true, and useful you can say to her, that will be helpful for you as well. I think that would be great.
I agree. And I think that was really wonderfully put and so eloquent. And I love that great Buddhist saying, by the way, about being kind and useful. And was it intentional?
True, kind, and useful.
True, kind, and useful. I love that. That's really a great insight. And so, Alani, please let us know what you end up doing. I think that we've given you a lot of things to consider, some questions to ask yourself. And even if you choose to have a conversation with her, before you mention the co-creation and I agree with Brad, that acknowledgement might be enough. I would also just try to catch up, right? Like maybe before diving into to looking at the elephant that's in the room, perhaps just try to catch up a little bit, but in an authentic way, so that she knows that you can kind of reconnect and she knows that you're calling to see how she's doing, and then to also talk about the situation. Or if you decide that you just want to keep moving forward, I mean, you've been moving forward on your own. I don't know for how long, but long enough to end up doing the work and checking for logos and going to the clerk's office and filing for the business entity. And you've done a lot on your own. These things also have costs. Your time was involved. You had to probably pay for some of these licensees, et cetera. And so you've devoted a lot of time, energy, and resources into this endeavor, and you should be proud of that, and you should recognize that, you know, that's not easy. And so kudos to you for doing all of the above. And if you decide that you want to just continue to move forward and, you know, everyone will learn about this at the same time, then I think that's something that, you know, you are well within your power to do as well. So let us know how it goes. Let us know what you decided to do. I can't wait to hear about it. And also what business you're in. I mean, it sounds like something, I don't know, Brad is so fashionable. I think you said My Mode. And I think you mentioned it was a fashion boutique. And so, you know, maybe we need to check it out one day, Brad.
I was just thinking, if she's in the need for short, out of shape, middle-aged male models, call me Alani. Honestly, the best of luck in your endeavor. It just sounds wonderful, and we can hear your passion for it.
Absolutely. And so, Alani and Michael, thank you so much for calling in today. Audience, thank you for tuning into our podcast. And Brad, you've just been such a joy. Thank you so much for being here today. It's so great to have you in the studio and for the audience to kind of hear our shtick. We used to be a training dynamic duo.
No doubt. It's like the band's back together for one last gig. I'm loving this.
I hope it's not the last gig. I'd love to have you back in the podcast studio. You know, when you're not like in Baghdad and places like that, I'd love to have you back here in New York City in the studio.
Well, now I have a reason to live and survive Baghdad. So thanks to Molly. It's been such a pleasure.
Likewise. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH. Capital A, capital D, capital R. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.